Game here to take over the game. Yeah. Still. Still. Ain't know what's going on. Yeah. It's still politics as usual. Life looking beautiful. Talking real heavy, more heavy than the usual. Shook the whole world up. That type of motion new to you. So it's just a throwback. Losing, we don't know that. Only give them up facts. That's exactly what y'all lack. Always show the people love so they show us love back. Yeah. And Ben Wesley like.
Yeah, once again, it's on. We are back at it. This is Politics as Usual, the NBA podcast, the NBA podcast. We are back. We are better than ever. This is going to be another great one, and I'm not by myself. I got my main man, Pots and Pans. We go back like full fast on the Cadillac or an Oldsmobile. We have the one and only Adam Carter. What's going on, good brother?
What's up, Jack? How you doing today, good brother?
Man, I'm doing well, man. Listen, great last night. We're going to get into it, but I want to make sure you're following us on all the social medias with an S, that's plural, social medias, politics, usual talk. We on TikTok now. We on Facebook, Instagram. Make sure you follow us, subscribe to our YouTube page, and shout out to all those watching live with us. Listen, we got a new segment. It's called Kicks of the Week. What's that fire kick you got on back there, brother? So sneak of the week.
Listen, I went in the vault. I went in the vault with this being a special episode. We got a guest today. Yes. I said, listen, I got to pull out something special. So I went in the vault and got those some Reebok Shaq Attacks. I had some Jordans last week. I'm gonna switch it up from week to week with different players.
Versatile. The vault is versatile. Yeah.
The vault is
man. I'm loving them, versatile. Man. I gotta.
So what you got? Dig around you got something them. For us?
Listen,
you
man,
got something
got
for us?
I got these. I forgot I had them, and these are special to me. These were my first J's, the military blues, in the second grade. Rest in power to my Uncle Barry. He said if I get all A's, I get Jordans. He'll buy them for me. And he should have did that my whole life because I would have got all A's. But he stopped listen, after I got
he might have just bought them for you. Are you sure that you got all A's, brother? I don't know. The Jordans are like...
You right about that?
Just bad. Just bought them.
Charity. Yeah,
those are crazy, those, brother.
Yeah, man, I got to put them things on with them, and I'm loving them attacks, man. And those were your sneaks of the week, man. Listen, we had before we get to the NBA, epic game on Sunday, one of the best playoff series I've ever seen, the New York Liberty against the Minnesota Lynx. We're out here in Central New Jersey, so we watch all the Liberty games. I've been to a few this year, so that was like my team, since we ain't got one in Philly. But Nafisha Collier is my favorite player for the Lakers, so I was divided. Brandy said, "You got to figure out who you going for." but I was so excited to see the Lynx, Liberty get that win. Man, what do you think about that series and how the WNBA exploded this year?
Listen, Jack, the same way we said last year with the World Cup. What do we call it? The Super Cup. The NBA the Super Cup, as we call it. But the way we said we never watched so much basketball early in the season, I have never watched so much female basketball in my life, Jack. And it was an exciting season. New York pulling off that win, Jack. First championship in New York in 48 years, Jack.
That is insane number.
It did not come without a controversy, though.
Buddy. Shout out to Shannon, the Liberty's coach. She said they stole this one. The Lynx coach said they stole it. That was a foul call. What'd you think about that, sir?
Listen, so the Liberty won 67-62 in overtime, and I don't know, Jack. It didn't seem like there was. It was very minimal. Contact.
Marginal, as they say.
Marginal contact. Even had the king, LeBron James, tweeting about it.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Said, you gotta let them play, and that was kind of the turning point in the game, Jack.
And that energy shifted, man. Yeah, and and people's like, whoa, they had the overtime. Listen, when you either away team and you're in New York, and you don't get that call, the momentum shifts, man, and it shifted in their favor.
Yeah, Jack. Incredible game, nonetheless. I mean, both teams were worthy of winning that game. It was just that type of game. going back and forth. It was amazing to see that Liberty, the star player on the team, didn't have a great game. Yeah, so we got what Christian Lamar. What did he say? She brought her hands down.
Oh, they cut it out. The Brickers is always think they know everything about defense.
So shout out to Mar. Yeah, I mean, I guess he has a point, but I mean, they reviewed it and everything. And
wasn't no way they was going to turn that call in New York. Because Spike Lee would have came, Fat Joe, Tracy Morgan, Mayor Adams, everybody would have came on that court that overturned that call.
Man, I mean, tough call. But like I said, New York star player didn't even have a great game.
Yeah, UNESCO didn't play good. My girl, who I have all her sneakers, shout out to UNESCO and her team. And Stewie didn't have a great game, but Jonquel Jones had a great one. And it was just great. It was a great season, man. I can't wait the next year when they play the best of seven. I'm looking forward to that. So shout out to the Liberty. Yeah.
So unfortunately, they kind of compared her finals performance to somebody in the NBA's finals performance, which I didn't think they was fair. It was comparing her lack of having a good game to Jason Tatum's lack of having some good games in the NBA. Got to run the loss.
Yeah, speaking of Tatum. But yeah, man, listen, they got that chip. They're going to have that parade. And listen, they put all the pressure on the Knicks to try to get a championship on the men's side because the women held up their end of the bargain this year. Yeah, man. But the NBA is back, brother.
Perfect. Perfect segue. Let's talk the NBA, Jack. So last night we only had two games in the association, as we say. We had the first game where the Celtics got that banner against the New York Knicks, and it was a tough night for New York.
Tough sled.
My goodness!
Yo, I looked up, I saw the score, and I was here. You know, they got me gassed up because we're in the New York area, so they talking. You know, they're gonna be killing them. Cat now. We got Cat and Bradal. Listen, Jason Tatum and them are out for blood this year. That made me scared.
Yeah.
They look super focused.
Yes, Jack. And the Celtics pulled that thing out 132-109. And the Celtics, they tried to have a new record, but they tied it with 29 threes. Towards the end of the game, they were just throwing up anything, Jack. I started to run out there and try to shoot one. Everybody was trying to break the record.
Yo, man, that was a statement to the league, man. They are ready, man. And listen, as we probably gonna get used to saying, they're so good, they don't even need Porzingis right now.
It's incredible, man. And do you think that with Tatum having that good game, he finished the game with he was 8 for 11 from downtown, and he had 4 rebounds, 10 assists. Was that a statement game for Tatum?
Yes,
it's been a rough last couple of months for Jason Tatum, Jack. I think he's feeling a little disrespected, Jack.
And Joe Mazzulla. I knew it was going to be trouble when Joe Mazzulla did a push-up when they announced him to get their rings. That's it. That's cool. I told Brandy, as soon as he does it, Brandy, you see this? It's going to be serious. And Tatum, if this is his moment to grab the MVP.
Yes.
I think he is going to be on a revenge tour. It's crazy. You would think a guy who got an Olympic medal and won the NBA championship would be comfortable. I don't see it this year. So
you would think he would be flying high and he would be as happy as he's ever been. But I think it's the exact opposite. I think he's miserable. And I think he has a point to make this season, Jack.
Yes. But
on
that
other game, he's my early prediction for MVP this year. I think he needs it.
Yeah, I got him and Luka.
Hmm.
One of those two, I think we're gonna do a whole prediction show. But definitely gonna get in that. But Tatum, man, you know, I want him to do good because I love him as a player. I got his jersey, but I'm a Sixer fan. So he scares me the way he's looking.
You smoozing up to them Celtics. You trying to get some more merchandise? Smoozing.
So you catch me with a Al Horford jersey.
You better believe it, Jack. If they send it to you, I'm wearing it.
No, you don't put it on. I put it right on. Yeah, man. But then the second game, history was made again. You know, 18th battle with the Celtics and the Lakers. I mean, to see Bronny and his daddy, you know, I know it was hard cleaning up all them Fruity Pebbles you put in the car.
Yeah, you see that? But, that was dope.
Yeah, man, but to see them two together, man, was that's an incredible moment. But I didn't, but what was really crazy, Anthony Davis looked like he came to make a statement.
Yeah, Jax. Last night, the Lakers pulled out the win, 110 to 103, which was big for the Lakers. They haven't won an opening game since 2016. And
yo, that's a crazy number. That's
crazy. Yes.
That's Kobe years. Is that Kobe 2016? They haven't won an opening game because I know they haven't won with LeBron. I remember I watched them all.
And Anthony Davis pointed out a good point that this is the first time that they were able to get a win when LeBron has had something monumental happen. They usually lose every game. He gets the scoring title of all time. They lose. Shea ruined that for him. I mean, if you think about all the big moments, think about back in 2019 when the when he passed Kobe Bryant in Philadelphia. We were both at that game. Sixers won that game.
Even when they won the banner, they got blew out by the Trailblazers.
Yes,
so, yeah, yeah, they're right, so, man. But what do you think about Bronny getting out there, getting a little bit of burn?
Yeah, Jack. So the big moment happened, with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. The coolest moment to me, and I got it written down to make sure I get it right. He looked down. He put his shirt on, looked at his son, and said, "You ready?" That was the coolest moment. You ready? Just play carefree. Go out there and just play hard. And that was the coolest moment, man. And you know, LeBron is
Bronny,
seizing the moment, Jack.
If I was Bronny, I'd have been like, "No, put me in later." Messed up the whole audio. No, not yet. LeBron, yo, he got a beating in front of the nation.
In front of the nation, that would have got chastised.
He done moved hell and high water to get you here. We talking about you ain't ready.
Maybe next game, Dad. No, you gonna play tonight.
You gonna play tonight. Yo, and see King Griffey Sr. and Jr. out there. Oh,
yeah. That was incredible.
King Griffey was at LeBron's first game.
That's incredible. That's a stat right there, Jack.
Shout out to Jerron Brown. That was a dope moment, brother. That's
yeah.
Sure.
And it was the
Lakers,
cool because,
man.
It was cool to see Ken Griffey Jr. and his daddy there, because he said if the moment ever happened, me and my dad will be at that game. And
yes, man.
As promised, it was cool for them to take a picture and for those two families in two different sports to share that moment. That was dope. But Jack, 22nd season for LeBron. Didn't have the greatest game, but he didn't need to when Anthony Davis was playing lights out like that, Jack.
He's still flying through the air somehow, which I'll never understand.
Yeah, Jack. Big game for Anthony Davis, though, and I think that was a statement game as well.
You know what I noticed about him? Two things. That playing in the Olympics helped his body. He looks stronger. Yeah. He looks faster. His jump shot is back. He looked like when they first got him, when he first got traded to the Lakers during the bowl season. He looks like that. Mm-hmm. He playing like that. That's a game changer in the Western Conference.
Absolutely, Jack. And I think
if he can allow LeBron to coast, oh my goodness.
Right. And that's it. What LeBron has been trying to do that for the last couple of years, Jack. He wants it to be Anthony Davis's team. But a lot of times Anthony Davis was hurt or he just kind of wasn't showing up. But this year, he's kind of playing with the momentum of he should have won, in my opinion. I think in our opinion, he should have won Defensive Player of the Year last year.
Yeah, man.
And he's playing off that momentum of, like you said, the Olympics. And now I think he's ready to show that he can actually be the leader on that team, Jack.
Yeah, man. And I really think, you know, he played 76 games this year. So they're going to have to call Kawhi and street clothes. Because 76, that's a lot of games, man. And look,
that is a lot of games.
Yeah, that's a lot of games, though. So shout out to the Lakers getting that win. And what do you think about the Timberwolves, man? I just think they need to. It was a filling out game. No, they'll get it together.
Yeah, I think they'll get it together. I think Ant-Man is on the hunt for that MVP as well.
I wouldn't be surprised
to see him in that conversation when it comes to, you know, late May or June, whenever they announce it. But I just think they gotta, you know, they gotta fill out the season. They gave Rudy all that money. He said the boy got his own money.
yo, I couldn't believe, like, yo, he's cashing out. What do they have in France? He got all the francs. He got dog. Remember he signed that big contract like 225. Now he got the extension 3 for yo. And I was
dog, he's somewhere doing the money dance, Jack.
I thought, and I was thinking they probably couldn't trade him because they would have probably preferred to trade him. But they was making it seem like they traded Cat for some money. So it ain't necessarily money. Probably nobody could pick him up. So they just probably had to bite the
And for what Rudy does, I mean, he's great at it. He's going to block shots. He's going to get you the rebounds. And if he can get you every once in a while 15 points, that's a win.
Yes.
That's a win. That's a great night for Rudy. So I think
they're paying him to stay out of Ant-Man's way. They're paying him to stay out of the Ant-Man's way.
Once they get past Ant-Man, they got to go through him, and hopefully he's back there blocking the shots. But did you see AD block Rudy's shot last night? I think that was a statement, too. He said, man, give my Defensive Player of the Year trophy, man. Go to the crib and get it.
The Lakers had intensity. Like, it was like almost playoffs. Like, they really – and I must say, even though I doubted him, I think Redick gives them energy.
I was going to ask you, what do you think? How do you think Redick did in his first official coaching game?
Somebody said today he's probably going to be a great coach and the most annoying coach in the league. Because he was on refs from – oh, my God. He went to Duke. That's all I – he's a Duke. He got all that Christian Laettner energy on the sideline.
But, I mean, hey, man, so far
– I think it works for them. Like, I think it works,
it's
man.
Working. And the offense, we weren't sure.
And the offense is buzzing. They're moving that ball. Even though they didn't shoot well, they're shooting threes. I like how the offense looks.
Yeah, I saw in the preseason he said that he wanted Anthony Davis to take those open threes. If he's open, he wants him to shoot it. And he's proven that he can knock those things down, Jack. If he gets hot, he can get he could have a big night. So, So only two games last night, Jack. I was you know, I guess that was enough with the banner. And then, you know, you got LeBron and Bronny playing their first game. I'm looking forward to Bronny getting a little bit more comfortable, Jack, and, you know, starting to feel his way out there. And, you know, I can't wait till he has a big regular season game. So they can just leave him alone. Because right now they is hating.
Woo-hoo!
Bronny. Oh, my goodness.
It's rough out there.
Hard out there for a pimp, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jack. So you want to move on to you want to talk some Embiid?
Before we talk let's introduce folks. We got a special guest tonight.
Yes, sir.
A very special guest. My main man, Brandon Scoop B. Robinson. Let me read a little bit about him. He's a graduate of Eastern University, right there on the main line. So he got some. Got some Pennsylvania ties and got his master's at Hofstra. And for the last 20 years, he has been a major figure on the NBA, writing about music, listening to some of the publications he's been in, he's worked at in networks, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, NBA TV, ESPN, and Bally Sports Networks, and also MSG Networks. And this dude is even... in the NBA 2K game. He's written for The Source. He is
Flex.
I just watched him give Steph Curry a handshake. Steph Curry knew who he was. So he's always on the scene. He's one of my guys who I follow. So we're glad tonight to talk about all that's going on in the league and all that's going to be happening with the Super Cup coming up with our main man, Brandon Scoop B. Robinson. Scoop, man, thanks for coming on tonight. What's going on, brother?
What's the word? Thanks for having me.
Man, what an honor. Listen, we have become a legit podcast because you showed up with us tonight. You can't tell me nothing, man. Thank you, man.
Thank you for having
me. We have arrived. Hey, good brother Scoop, you went to Eastern. I got my master's from right across the street from you. So we are neighbors.
Cabrini College in Eastern.
College. We're no more, but I think my credentials still mean a little.
You're a little defunct, but you still got it. That ink still matters. That ink matters, brother.
Look, you just have to call Villanova to get your transcript. That's a flex.
Listen, they got to give me a t-shirt or something. You got to give me a t-shirt or something.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Well, Scoop, man, I wanted to start with this one. Tell me, man, when did you first start falling in love with the NBA and I really decided to cover the league at the level that you do?
I fell in love with basketball when I was 6 years old. combination of things happened. One, my family ran and operated two shoe businesses in Harlem, in New York City, on 25th Street. And we had an athlete's foot and men's shoes, still called Men's Walker. So, like, at the athlete's foot, we'd have sneaker releases. Dominique Wilkins, Spud Webb, Hakeem Olajuwon would do, you know, releases in the store. And so, you know, I started ringing a cash register at the store about 6-7 years old. And then I had an uncle who ran a basketball league in Harlem called Citywide. And so, you know, I'd go to work with him and just see how he was respected and was heralded going to work every day. And Citywide, I was at Riverbank State Park in Harlem. So anybody that was somebody that came out of New York City played in Citywide, whether that was Bernard King, whether that was Stephon Marbury, Kenny Anderson, Mark Jackson, Ross Strickland.
Oh, big names.
Early in the game, just being around my uncle and being around that, was the entry point. But, I think you kind of cemented it two ways when, I started watching the Bulls in 91 during their first championship run against the Lakers. And
what an era.
The NBA on NBC hooked. And then 6 years later, got an audition that changed my life. I hosted a kids radio show called Net Slamming Planet, the Nets official kids radio show. So, you know, I'd be in the locker room with players. God bless Dikembe Mutombo. I spent time with him, Allen Iverson, Tim Duncan, Stephen A. Smith, Woj, all those guys. In the 90s, spent time with them and just continued to grow. I did that show for 2 years, and then I went back to being a kid.
That's incredible, Jack. That is incredible. Oh, so, Scoop, I got a question for you. Jack, you have been around the NBA, and you've been around all these celebrities, and you talk to everybody. Do you have a bucket list of an individual or a group of individuals that you haven't talked to yet that you're still looking to check that box?
Me?
Yes.
Obama. I've covered Obama. I've not met Obama. That's probably the only person.
That is an incredible one. You've talked to everybody else. That is incredible.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I always want to ask now tell me where you get your nickname from, where you get the moniker from.
It actually came from my childhood. So my show with the Nets called Net Slamming Planet, it was a dual role. Worked for the team, and they had a kids radio show called Slamming Planet, but also I'd be in the locker room doing interviews with any and everybody. And I hosted it with a woman named Lynn Wilson and former Net Albert King, as well as Evan Roberts, who's on WFAN in New York. And Lynn said to me, you know, I would be just giving tidbits of information, things players would tell me in the locker room, things I would hear, things I would see, fashion. She said, you know, every great has a nickname. I'm going to call you Scoop B. So Lynn Wilson gave me that nickname in 97, 98. And, you know, I carried it on when I finished the show after 2 years. We ended it after the first lockout. Like, they were cost cutting. But when I was in high school, I had my own column from freshman year all the way to when I graduated, and called the Scoopies NBA Beat. And at the time, I went to two different high schools. The first prep school I went to, I was the first freshman to have their own column at that school and at that point in school's history.
Column.
I ended up sharing another high school. But Scoop B, it just stuck with me, you know, and took care of the name and try to live up to the name as much as possible.
That is incredible, Jack. That is incredible. So you mentioned, Scoop, that your family owned several, you know, sneaker stores and anybody that is around our age is came up during the height of the 90s when the sneakers were at their best, in our opinion. So what is your holy grail of sneaker? What is your favorite shoe of all time? Before we got on, we were talking sneakers. What is your favorite?
It's funny. I was actually watching you guys' sneaker segment before. And you know, on my whole floating wall in my office, my late mom, she passed away 2 years ago. And, I had the last gift that I ever bought her, for Mother's Day was a pair of, she was an AKA, a pair of pink and green Jordan 1s, which I actually have right here. These, so
incredible,
buddy.
So
incredible.
I gotta show love to moms in that regard. But as far as my own personal sneaker collection, I mean, Jordan 11s are definitely up there. I remember as a kid, I couldn't have necessarily, you know, the sneaker store ended in 95, and you know, as a kid, couldn't afford the Concords when they came out. But I remember maybe like 4 years ago, I got a bonus when I was at a previous publication, and I got a pair of Jordan 11s, the white and blacks, the Concords I always wanted, and they were customized with Scoop B on the back. It had like a boombox on it. So for me, the Jordan 11s, I really like. But here's the crazy thing. They're uncomfortable.
Oh, my God. But, yo, one and done.
So I've worn them a couple times. But,
oh, man.
You know, those to me stand out. I personally, I like foams. I like Nike Cortezes. I remember when they were 99.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm even, you know, young enough but old enough to remember. You asked about shoes. The old school Playboys, the old school Bally sneakers, the British Walkers,
yeah.
Stuff.
Oh yeah.
The Wallabies. I like that style. I think you could never go wrong with a pair of fresh white Air Force Ones, as well as a pair of fresh
classic
Butters, Tim's as well. So I like to keep it classic. But I do have some things in the closet that kind of, you know, break the mold, whether those are like Giuseppe sneakers, Giuseppe shoes. I have a pair with spikes on them. Kind of like, I like snakeskin shoes, but more sporty, not like the old school church alligator ones.
No Stacey Adams. We ain't talking Stacey Adams.
You can stay on point like Stacey Adams and Snoop Dogg.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, but before we move you up to some current NBA talk, I want to know this. Tell me, what was the craziest thing you had to do to get an interview? You ever climbed through a window, sneaking, and got a fake media pass? I had to get some fake media passes in my day to sneak in. So, now you've been doing it since high school. So you always had credentials.
No, but there were times, you know, you made mention of, you know, my early days, and then there was a middle before there was the benediction, Reverend. And what I say is that I'll just be honest with you, as much as I am pleased and impressed with my journey and my story, it wasn't always silver and gold. You know, there was a point, you know, in 2011 when I finished grad school, I was living in my grandmother's basement and was freelancing at about 10 to 12 different publications at the time, was on food stamps, had a double door fridge. And I tell a story often, the refrigerator side didn't work. The freezer side kept my food cold like a refrigerator. I didn't have an oven. I had, you know, I cooked with a crock pot. I cooked with a microwave.
Oh yeah.
You know, a hot plate and was on food stamps and was, you know, adjuncting at about a bunch of different places and really just got my clips up. So, you know, on the climb up, you're building relationships with people. You're finding ways at parties to or at other functions that where may not be, you know, official capacity places to build relationships and get interviews. And I think that for a long period of time, you know, post grad school, I'll say from like 2011 to probably about 2018, 2019, it was just building relationships. And I'm grateful for that, because I think a lot of times some of my counterparts, they don't appreciate the journey and things are handed to them. So, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, letters behind my name. But for me, I'm grateful that whether I'm there's an affiliation to a network or it's just me, people rock with me for me, not just the benefit of that network. So, you know, with that being said, I've walked in different sectors or different venues. The thing that naturally comes to mind is, you know, I watched and learned from some of the people that came before me, who have shared stories. So, you know, an example within the last couple of years that I can think of just off the top of my head, was one of the Morris twins. It was at Crypto.
They don't play.
Full of Staples, but was a member of the Clippers. And I learned this from a gentleman that's respected in the field, that, you know, the best place to get interviews if you're locked out of the locker room at Staples Center is going on that walk as they're going to their car. Because once you're walking with them and once security sees you, security's not going to stop you. And so I had seen him in the locker room. Yo, you got a few minutes? And he was like, yeah. And PR was like, yo, y'all got to wrap it up. I stayed in the hallway. And when he walked out the locker room, I'm walking with him. He's got his kids. He gave me about 5 questions as I'm walking him to his car. And so things like that you pick up along the way.
That's right. Yeah.
You take it and you run with it. That's the thing that comes to mind. I'm sure if we had more time, I definitely could tell you more, but that's the most rapid response that I have for you right now.
Man, brother, that was perfect. You have no idea. You have no idea. Yeah. Now as we move to man, what's exciting, man? Help us as Sixer fans. Now the NBA is investigating the Sixers and Embiid about they faking injuries. What's going on? Can you explain, man, what's your whole view about Embiid talking about no back-to-backs for the rest of his career?
Well, I think that Joel Embiid's injuries over the last couple of years are very nuanced, specifically because if you date back to last season, I think he came back too quick and felt like he had to move a point. And I think at this point in his career, he does not have to chase MVPs, he's chasing trophies. And so I think his mindset going into the season is such. But I think for the Sixers, I think there's just a lot of light shown on them. And because of that, the league reacts to that. And so when you look at Joel Embiid and you look at the fact that it's believed he wants to sit back to backs, what I can say candidly is being around the Sixers the last 4 years and knowing how they do their game day injury reports, whether questionable, doubtful, or out, Embiid is almost like a surprise pretty regularly. I've been in situations where I've been around the Sixers and someone has said to me right before tip off, "Scoop, big fella's playing," and then wink, and I'll tweet it. You know, Joel Embiid will play tonight, sources tell me. And it'll be like half an hour, 45 minutes before tip. And usually when you're putting together those scouting reports, that's way in advance. That's about 2 to 3 hours before. And so I think this whole concept of whether he's playing and the whole back-to-backs, from my understanding, it started from a report from a colleague of mine at ESPN, Ramona Shelbourne. And I know that Joel was fine in the Olympics. I know that Joel did come back for the playoffs and was seemingly struggling at times because of how he threw the ball off the backboard, tried to dunk it, and gave it his all for Philly. I think Philly is fine with that, and I'm speaking more on the fan base side than the organization. I think, but I do think that fans do spend their hard-earned money to watch Joel Embiid play, and you know, imagine the kid who got good grades and he's hoping to catch his favorite basketball player, then he's not playing.
It's crazy, Scoop. It's funny that you say that because I talked about it last week on the show. I take my kids to a Sixers game every year, and my son says, "Well, how are we supposed to know which game we go to if Embiid's not playing back-to-backs?" He's been asking questions about it all week. And last year when we went to go see the Sixers play against Denver, like you said, Scoop, it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even out there warming up until, you know, a couple minutes before the game. And Princeton says Embiid is soft. the league isn't physical no more. But yeah, so I just think, Scoop, do you think he should have said it out loud, though? Should he have said that he's not going to play?
I know that that was the – so full disclosure, I know that that was reported by someone. I wasn't paying well enough attention to it to know whether he was quoted as saying that or that that was an unnamed source, a.k.a. him or someone close to him, and someone that was a colleague of mine related. So I can't speak to that personally. But me as a human being, if I have a big secret, I'm not telling your ass.
Dog, just kill him. I was like, please. God. That's my thing with it. I know we kind of figured that they're having some kind of routine, but we ain't want to hear it.
Yeah. I'll scale it back a little bit even more. The Embiid conversation is off of the heels of Kawhi Leonard's health.
And yes.
You know this as journalists and people that are in the field. Multiple causations cause a story. So the first news peg was Kawhi Leonard being out, going back to the summer when he removed himself from the Olympic team.
Right.
We live with that because it's the summer. It's voluntary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then that's July. You fast forward, August, September, almost Halloween, season starts. He doesn't play. And it was like the Clippers, in my opinion, were delaying the inevitable of telling us, even though we many knew that Kawhi wasn't going to play for a period of time. And then the story came out that he wasn't. And then it turned into blaming San Antonio and you know, being traded. And then the Raptors and winning the championship. Then he comes to the Clippers. And then, you know, and I think what makes the Clippers situation with Kawhi interesting is the Clippers spent so much time not trying to resign Paul George that they actually need him now.
Absolutely.
And that's not taking anything away from James Harden, Terrence Mann, Ivica Zubac, or anyone else. But you want to go somewhere if you're Paul George where you're celebrated and not tolerated. So to go back to Joel Embiid, the first news peg is Kawhi. And then Embiid comes, and it's about the part about not sitting back-to-backs, and then it's he's out three games, and then it's the league investigating. Typically, the league, if you look at the NBA is kind of like, if I could make a law enforcement comparison, local level, meaning the teams handle it themselves, just like a sergeant or a lieutenant in a local town. Mm-hmm. It's not till the news gets a hold of it that it becomes – a federal level and a superior court level. And that's basically what ended up happening in the Embiid situation.
Compared Adam Saylor's defense. Adam Silver's defense.
Burdette said, oh, God. They're messing with the money, Jack. Messing with the money.
Yeah, man. You know they got deals coming. Amazon, all that's happening with NBC next year. And you know, and it's a lot, you know, and it doesn't look good when the faces of the league they're not playing in the first game. I would rather them be like, they're only going to play 15 minutes today or 12 minutes. Right. Or we'll see. Game time decision. They're like, nah, they ain't playing at all. But I wanted to ask you, Scoop, man, can you tell me what are you looking forward to this season? Now, what excites you about this upcoming season?
Well, I know that you made mention of the fact that you looked at Jason Tatum is an MVP candidate. That's cool. I wish him well. I wish him success. But personally, I'd like to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Love him.
Being snubbed.
Thunder,
like the Minnesota Timberwolves, were a surprise to the mainstream audience. Wasn't a surprise to me. And I think that in a world where we're constantly looking at the Lakers, and the Lakers are a headline. Steph Curry's a headline. The Knicks are a headline. This, you know, all the usual suspects are a headline. I think Oklahoma and Minnesota are probably two of the most disrespected franchises in the NBA to be as good as they are.
Absolutely.
And the national perspective just now jumping on ship last year, and they've really been building over the last, I'll say, three and a half years. I could see if it was a one, if it respectfully, I could see if it was a one hit wonder like the Hawks in 2021 when they were in the conference finals and played the Bucks.
Oh, heartbreaker.
And I really feel like they dismantled that Bucks team before they really, really found a chance. I think the combination of John Collins being hurt, and them feeling as though they should have made that trade to get DeJounte Murray was effective, and it wasn't. I do think that that the comparatively the Minnesota Timberwolves and Oklahoma City Thunder have stood the test of time. And with that being said, I think more of the national audience should be paying attention to what SGA does on a basis. And I think they've only gotten better this offseason, particularly with the addition of Isaiah Hartenstein, Knicks, and free agency and the trade with the Chicago Bulls.
Caruso. I said him down there.
To Chicago for Alex Caruso. And I think defensively, Alex Caruso was going to be everything that people or the team thought Giddy would be, and the trade actually benefited both teams. Absolutely. In answer to your question, I do like Oklahoma, Alexander do his thing.
We are big SGA fans here, man, and absolutely. Brother, we thank you so much for your time, your perspective. But before we let you go, we want to ask you this one, man. Let us tell us about your show, where we can watch you. Always interviewing some of the best current and former players. I love when you get the former players on there, but let us know how we can catch you.
Scoopy Radio is available on streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. But also make sure you follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Scoop B, where you can get all the information, news, interviews, and more. And also subscribe to Scoop B TV on YouTube, which is where you can check out the interviews. I'm in my last phase of four-part series that I did in partnership with the NBA Retired Players Association called Scoopy Selects. We did with Smush Parker, as well as this week we dropped with Michael Cage. We have one more interview next week, and then Scoopy Radio. We have anybody from DJ Khaled to Mark Cuban to Shaq to the voice of Siri, Pete Sampras, and more. So Scoopy on Twitter, Scoopy TV on YouTube, and Scoopy on Instagram as well.
One more thing. Did you tell Michael Cage after AC Green he had the greatest Jerry Curl in the history of the NBA?
We actually
right talked after about AC Green. I know there's no way you did not talk about that Jerry Curl.
we actually talked about that. And they actually called, you know what, people talk about the Jerry Curl. His nickname was the Windex Man. He was actually the the rebounds leader in 1988. He came out of in that 84 draft class with Jordan and Hakeem and John Stockton and Charles Barkley and more. But it's funny because while I laugh about the Jerry Curl, towards the beginning of my career, he was towards the end of his career as a reserve with the Nets. And I got to know him, and we reconnected during our Bally Sports ties. He's the voice of the Oklahoma City Thunder now now it's called FanDuel Sports Network. And and Michael is definitely a wealth of knowledge. He's been around the game, and ain't nothing he ain't seen already.
Man, brother, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Yo,
he spent some time in Philly.
Yeah, he did.
Man. Thank you, brother. He's a Sixer.
Yes, he was. With Lucius Harris, Lucius Harris.
Oh, man, that was the Lucius Harris. Oh, man, those years. Late 90s. Oh, Lucius Harris.
Incredible, man. Incredible, bro. So Scoop, you all stick around for That's a Fact. Jack Stat of the Week. This is how we end every episode, Scoop. And we give little-known NBA facts. So it's time for my favorite segment of the week. That's a Fact, Jack. Stat of the Week.
Drop it, Jack. Yes.
So the basketball that they play with now, we know it as the orange basketball, Spalding or Wilson. But did we know that when the NBA first started, when basketball first started, they were playing with a soccer ball, Jack? They started out using a soccer ball. Can't quite get your handle. If you got a handle with a soccer ball, you were a bad boy. But it eventually progressed to a brown leather ball, but it would quite often it would blend into the floor and it would blend into the player's jersey. So that's why it was eventually painted orange, Jack. So that is a little known NBA fact. So that is this week's That's a Fact, Jack Stat of the Week. And that is it for episode 2 of season 2. We always end our show with a shout out, Scoop. We would you do the honors? And if you have any shout outs, good brother.
Shout out to Worldwide West. Everywhere we go, we leave the worldwide mess.
Mic drop. Shout out to Worldwide West. Shout out to Home for that, man. That was a bar, brother. Yes, bro, who are you shouting out this week, brother?
Man, I got a shout out. I don't know if y'all can see it. I got this advanced copy about 2 weeks ago from Paul Rivera, and I'm claiming LeBron James and Maverick Carter. They all sent me this. I interviewed Paul Rivera for Hot 97. And I'm just so glad, and he was so kind, and he shared the interview. And I'm like this close to being the next Bronny James. So I wanted to shout them out.
Man, that's incredible. Well, this week, he's been all over the show today. I'm shouting out Lamar Brickus and Christian Lamar Photography. Shout out to my guy. So that is it for the show, brother. I said something smart last week, brother. So take us out with something smart, Jack.
Well, first of all, follow us at Politics Talk. Politics
is usually he's nervous, Scoop. He's nervous.
And the person who sleeps on the floor can't fall out of bed. God bless and good night.
Game here to take over the game. Yeah. Stout. Still. Ain't no going on. Still politics as usual, life looking beautiful, talking real heavy, more heavy than the usual, shook the whole world up, and type of motion new to you, so it's just a throwback, losing we don't know that, only give them up facts, that's exactly what y'all lack, always show the people love, so they show us love back, yeah.